Become a podcast buddy now and get exclusive access to the new podcast episodes. You can find more information about this on my website schulzekopp.de.
Welcome to this podcast.
Water Polo Expert Talk. Get the insights. Yeah, so welcome to the podcast. So we have today another international guest, or somehow also a German guest, I would say, Lukas Gehlen. So welcome, Lukas, to the podcast. Thanks for taking the time today to join us today.
Yeah, thank you so much for inviting me for this. I think it's really great that there's podcasts for water polo going on to spread more of the, the good news for our sport.
Yeah, it's a good news for the sports, and also some good insights for the listeners and for the participants here also in the podcast. And we maybe at the beginning some information from yourself, maybe a little introduction by yourself about your person, story, water polo career in the past, and what are you doing today, so that we have little introduction from yourself.
Yeah, so I'll start in the past and work my way forward. So I'm a born a Dutch guy. I played in UZTC Utrecht, grew up there. Then I was invited for the national team, try to go with the senior national team. You know, the main goal was always trying to go to the Olympics. So when I was younger, I figured, okay, just as many guys in our competition, we try to look for opportunities abroad to improve our game, to like really increase our level of play. So at that time, I was lucky enough to get a spot in Partizan. I was there for 3 years when the team was still really great. We had, of course, one of the best coaches in the world, Vlado Vujasinovic. So I was really fortunate to be working with him and the rest of the guys in the team, who were, you know, extremely talented. Afterwards, I moved to Spandau. I spent 5 years in Berlin. It was five really amazing years. And even during my stay in Berlin, I took a German nationality, which was, you know, not originally the plan, but in the end, it was a really, you know, also a great experience for me. So actually, after I left Berlin, my wife is from New York. So I've been going back and forth between the Netherlands and New York in the last year and a half or so, still waiting on my visa to come through. But in the meantime, I've decided to play for the Netherlands again. So this European Championships, we started preparations with the Dutch national team. So I've been kind of going back and forth between national teams and as well, you know, with club teams, which was really good.
Yeah, so that in this case, you have several different perspectives. Yeah, so from a judge perspective, a German perspective, international perspective, I would say. Yeah, so it's very international in this case. But to start at the very beginning, so what makes water polo so especially for you, or so special for you, that you say, okay, as a kid I see water polo in the TV or somewhere around my hometown? What makes water polo for you specifically so interesting, so, or special?
Yeah, so for us it was really a family sport. My parents played, my brothers and sisters played. I was the defender in the national team, but also my cousin was a defender in the national team. So for us, it was really family oriented. So I just like loved the game. It was fast, you know, you had to be strong. It was interesting. I don't like games that are very static. So I prefer watching basketball over, for example, baseball. so just being very active in that, that's what really it's like eye catching for me. So traditionally from home, we all play water polo. And then when I was younger, you know, I was just really, I would say, sports obsessed, especially with the Olympics. And so that's kind of where always my drive came from, okay, I have one big goal in my water polo career, and that's I want to try to reach the Olympics. And what do I have to do to get there? And yeah, so that's kind of how it started as a kid, just like loving the game, growing up in the pool, loving sports, you know, watching always the Olympics, seeing as that it's like, you know, the absolute, you know, pinnacle in an athlete's career. And I just, yeah, kind of fell in love with that whole, you know, process, trying to figure out, okay, what can I do for myself, but also for my team to try to achieve that.
Yeah. So, and even when you say you have really the family background, then that most of your family is also playing water polo. That are there any other players around during your time saying, okay, this is an idol for me or for you in this case? That you say, okay, this is a guy I would like to act like or to have a philosophy like him, maybe.
Yeah, I think growing up, so I started water polo a little bit later than most players around me. I only got invited to the young national team when I was 16, because before then I spent 2 years in the US. So for me, it was really eye-opening moment when I first got invited. You know, 16 is relatively late. I was really lucky that the coach at the time, Jan Antjes, who was also the national team coach, he was, you know, willing to give me a chance. So actually, you know, realistically speaking, when I was growing up, when I was younger, I was, you know, like the last player coming off the bench. And but being in that kind of environment, I was I was with a lot of players that were all a lot better than me. So just going to national team practices, seeing these guys who are all, you know, faster than me, stronger than me, you know, smarter than me. It was just like really kind of great to be around. And that's, I think, when I kind of start getting this mentality, like, you know, when you're the smartest in the room, you're in the wrong room. It's kind of like the same with water polo. That's when I figured, okay, all these guys are so much better than me. I need to try to, you know, step by step, increase my level, try to become the best in this team, and then, you know, make a next step and make a next step. And then just all the way until, let's see how far I can take this. And, you know, seeing how things went, I got, like, you know, lucky in my career with, you know, very good environments, very good coaches. Luckily, I stayed healthy. It helps that I'm quite big, you know, I'm like 2 meters four. So that definitely helps in water polo. But yeah. So that was just took like a long time to try to, every time increase like a little bit and a little bit.
Yeah, so when you try to compare the both leagues, the Dutch national league and the German, because you know both sides of the medal in this case, what would you say? Where are the biggest differences, or from a level point of view, maybe? So, are there any differences also from the structure, from the performance of the one or two top teams in both leagues?
Yeah, so first of all, the Dutch league, everything is very even. So there was 12 teams in the first league, but the first ranked team until the, I would say, ninth ranked team, they can all beat each other every weekend. So every weekend, the game is very important. If you lose points one weekend, it's going to hurt you, you know, a few months later on the roster to see how playoffs are going to go. The overall level isn't as high as the best two or three teams in Germany. But, you know, in Germany, playing for Spandau, especially the first 2 years when I was there, Hanover had a good team at that time, but we were really much better. So we won the championship quite comfortably. But of course, we just had Spandau, Hanover, two good Champions League teams on that level. We were more, you know, internationally focused, trying to play well. And then, you know, the one goal was just, okay, guys, win the championship. Bundesliga winning is the only thing that's important, and all other games are almost more like practice games. I don't want to take anything away from the other teams, you know, from in the league, because, for example, Duisburg did give us really tough games, you know, but in the end, it was just us competing with Hanover and having one really heavy opponent in the league. It's much more different than having to be there every single weekend. So that also meant a lot of differences for training, for preparing for the games, you know, the kind of hours you put in, how you work towards certain matches. You know, with us in Spandau, we were very focused on Champions League. And then one Hanover game was coming around, you know, we're very focused on that. And then other games, yeah, you kind of use it to go through as kind of a training way to, you know, practice the systems or, you know, stay in shape, work. But in Holland, that was, yeah, just a very different feeling.
Yeah. So because also during the last couple of years, there was also the focus or the focus only on the two top teams here in Germany. Yeah. So which is actually Spandau and Vaspo in this case. But when you say during your time in, you spent your years in Berlin, there was really the main focus on Champions League. And not really, yeah. So the Bundesliga is maybe daily work, yeah. So daily business,
yeah. More or less. So it's like daily business, and it's like normal that you become champion. It's just what is expected of you. Like it's you know usually in the start of the season, you know, you have to make your goals. What do we want with the team? What are we gonna do? But like it's not even a question, guys. With Spandau, we are the champion of Germany. We need to behave as champions of Germany. Every game that we play, you know, we need to show that we're the best, not by a little bit, but by a lot. And that kind of championship mentality, that's just really ingrained in the, you know, Spandau philosophy. I think at the time, you know, Hagen Stamm has done a really great job, you know, keeping the club in that very high level for a long time. We had a really fantastic coach. Pera Kovacovic, who was really tremendous, super knowledgeable, super, you know, good personable coach, really good with the players, really good with practice. But, you know, all the great players you have around you, plus a good environment like that, it just, you know, it's like, okay, the Bundesliga, we're just going to take care of business, win the championship. And then for Europe, that's like, you know, important. We want to really try to reach the final eight.
Yeah, so and I guess from my point of view at the moment, there is a little bit change in the environment or in the possibilities and the options of Spandau in this case. So talking about Spandau, because they have a really strong opponent during the last couple of years with Vaspo. Yeah. And they do or spend really big investment in players and in the team and in the environment, in the development of the team. Together with the White Sharks also here in Hanover. So there are a lot of effort during the last couple of years from Vaspo saying, okay, we are here not only to make any practice games, give you the title over to Berlin, then this case, or we want to make also here some kind of history.
And they really did. They really did. I mean, just look at the trophies, look at the games they beat us. I mean, us saying Spandau, you know, I still feel part of the Spandau family. But they beat us, you know, the last 2-3 years in Super Cups and Cubs in the championship. So they really invested in their team, and it really showed. They brought really great players. Jokic, you know, also started helping with coaching. You could see in their playing style that something changed. But they just hosted so many great international players. Then they had really great German players, you know, Julian Real, Moritz in the goal, you know, Tobias Poyz. You know, these are all like, you know, some of the best players in the world. And when you add with, you know, the international guys, you know, Bilvian, Radovic, you know, you'll have my Dutch friend, Jorn Winkelhorst, who is there. They just had a really well-rounded team. So, yeah, during my 5-year staying there, the first 2 years, you know, you had this, okay, we're going to be champion no matter what. But then all of a sudden, they made such a big investment. It just became like a huge, huge struggle, like a huge fight. Like every time we clashed, it was like a war going on, you know. the referees didn't really control the games as well as, you know, could have happened. So every time there was a big escalation in the pool between, you know, fights and just, those were really tough games to win.
And, but at the end, I would say for the level of the German league, it would make really a difference maybe at the end. Yeah. So because the scenes or the the situations you mentioned before is really something which also, or especially for young players, help them during their development. Yeah, as a player.
I think that was something which was really good what we did in Spandau. So we had the core group, a lot of you know, great international players. Then we had a lot of really good national team players, also like, you know, Moppy, guys like Denis Strzelecki. But, you know, those are right now people who carry the German national team. But we had a lot of young guys underneath that as well, practicing with us. So even though we had a group of, you know, 13, 14 players, we always had five younger players, you know, practice with us to try to build them up over the years. And I think that philosophy was, okay, we want to have a flagship team, Spandau, to win everything. But at the same time, I think, you know, Hagen wanted this pipeline of training, having the young players to get them ready for the national team long term, to have them practice with, you know, a little bit older, more experienced, good international players with a good coach. And then they can learn from like an environment like that. It would have been more, it would have been much more difficult for those young players to train on that level if you only had German players in Spandau. So I think that really changed the equation for the young players, that they can, you know, learn off of the international group.
So which is also then the benefit also for the national team, maybe of Germany, saying, okay, we have right now better developed or better trained young players coming to the national team, because they had the chance to train with these international stars at the home base.
I think that's like a good comparison you can make with the Dutch national team. So the Dutch national team trains together in Zeist. That's where all national team players come to practice. So they work together, and that system works really well. But they don't have a club team where you can play with 7, 8, you know, foreigners from a very high level, play European games all year long, and then learn from them. It's just like between the Dutch players. And that's a different system, and it works. But that's also why you see when a Dutch player, you know, like myself, is able to take a good experience abroad, you can really exponentially grow your level. So that's nothing to take away from the work the national team does in Zeist, because they work really excellently. You know, I've been back there. The program is very professional. The way how they treat the gym, the way how they treat the swimming, the water polo, it's extremely structured, and it's going very well. So you see a lot of progress with those players, but I'm sure the players could also benefit from having 5, 6, you know, great international Olympic, you know, level Olympic medal winning athletes to practice with them. That just really helps the group, you know, learn more. Like I said earlier in the interview, you know, when you practice with guys that are higher than your level, you can, you know, pull from them and learn from them, and then try to increase to their level.
So, and we talked a lot right now about the German league and the Dutch league. So are you still monitoring the things going on in Germany with the games and results here in Germany?
Yeah, so I love water polo. Like I said, I still feel part as if I'm part of the Spandau group. I talk with the guys. There are my friends, you know, guys that I play with for a long time. I have a regular contact with them, so I do keep track of the games. I still watch the Champions League games. I still feel really affiliated with the club, so therefore I also, you know, like seeing the results, seeing who's playing well, see who's maybe not playing so well. And that's also, you know, I'm playing a European Championships, hopefully myself, this summer. So I need to kind of keep track on how's everybody doing. So I'm watching the German national team now at the World Championships, how they're doing after big restructuring. They're actually in our group. So so it's going to be interesting. But it's been really interesting to keep following the new developments in German water polo in the Spandau, but also in Hanover. There's going to be a lot of changes. I think the most changes there's been in a few years. So I'm really curious to see what's going to happen next season. I think it's not so clear anymore. You know, it's going to be Hanover, Spandau, you know, work with the national team. You know, there's the new coach. So before everything, well, you know, was going for many years, you know, some small additions. And then, you know, step by step, you can kind of see what's going on. But now with all recent changes, yeah, you're going to have to kind of start from scratch and kind of prove to see where you are, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and based on the talk I had the chance to have with the head coach of Germany, so he said also, okay, I need to think more in the future. Yeah. So not only the 4 years or the 2 years maybe until the next big event or big tournament, saying I need to have also younger players and many many more young players on the good level or on a higher level, that we have not only a team of, let's say, 15, 16, 20 people on 20 players. So we need a lot more young players saying, okay, I would like to play water polo for Germany and I do everything I need to do that. Yeah. So, and that's really the plan then here behind all the restructuring efforts right now. Yeah. So, and that's really the only way I think we can go at the moment. And but you mentioned also the European also World Championship right now in Budapest or in Hungary. You mentioned that you're also following the games of Germany. So what do you think about the current results from the previous games right now?
So yeah, Germans had, you know, tough group. 2 years
ago. It's not easy.
Yeah, 2 years ago we also played in Gwangju with you know, against Japan, Italy, and who else in the group, but yeah, we had a really great result. But just if you look 2 years ago to the team today, there's only, you know, three or four players from the from the old team who are still there, so there's been a huge change. So I think the mindset of the new team just needs to really be, like you say, about the development, about, you know, we have always these Olympic cycles. So this is really great experience for them to take to the European Championships, to take to next year, maybe again for World Championships for them. So they really need to start growing together after restructuring. You know, it's hard to take a really good result right from the start, especially with a young team. And I think you also see that in their games. Sometimes they, you know, play excellent, and sometimes, you know, it's a little bit less. So the game is really fluid for them, which is normal for a young team, you know, to have ups and downs. For example, the game against Japan, they came down by a lot, and then they still made a great comeback, which is actually also very German-like. Us Dutch people... you know, always say, guys, these Germans, they never give up, you know. And even if you're up 10 goals in the fourth quarter, they will come out swinging, trying to still win the game, which doesn't make any sense. But that kind of mentality, it's really good, you know. So, and I really appreciated that while I was playing for Germany myself. Just, you know, never to give up, always to keep working. And I think you can see that these German values, they still exist in the team today. Yeah, just, I know a lot of the guys I practiced that play with them for a long time. So I think they're going to be, doing really well, you know, long-term, but I think short-term it's going to be difficult to form the team, to reach a high level quickly.
Yeah. So, and which is also, from my opinion, somehow the biggest challenge is to moderate these process. Over the next couple of years, and saying, okay, we need to plan and to organize ourselves in long term, yeah, and not in short term. So, and this to moderate that and to communicate this to the broader audience, is saying, okay, we need to do that due to whatever reasons, but we don't have to look really short term again, like the last 10, 50 years, whatever, that we need to plan long term. Yeah, and have to work on the perspective for the young players, and not really saying, okay, we need to play the next Olympics or next European Championships and we need to get any good results. Yeah, and based on that, we need to play with the most experienced players. Yeah, and this is really a game changer or a mind change at the moment. Saying, okay, we agree on play with young players based on the development and the long term view.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think it's also a situation Germany is kind of forced in right now, with a lot of older guys retiring. But I think, like I said before, you know, Hanover, Spandau, even Duisburg, you know, these are clubs with a huge tradition, with really good programs, places where young players can really develop. You know, even I know, you know, clubs like Potsdam, where a lot of guys play, they work really well. But yeah, these young guys, they just need, you know, more time, and you need to be patient. And that's so hard in sports. You always want to win today. But, yeah, you know, sometimes you need to just invest in the growth and, you know, make choices for growth instead of choices for winning right now.
Yeah. So, and this is exactly the point, or my point. Yeah, saying, okay, we need to communicate this, that we work on the perspective, and not really having necessarily the short term success. Saying, okay, we need to plan for the future. Yeah. Let's come back maybe from the future to the past again.